ahead of me, about 20 feet, I see this old guy. This old guy watching the ground as a hawk watches a small mouse, about to make his last fatal move from under the mulberry bush. He watches the ground. He pursues it. He devours it. He lives it. He is the ground. And then it came to me suddenly as a flash in a darkened coal bin of the mind. This is the way we all started, every one of us. At least every male that I know. We started out watching the ground, hoping to find something. Anything. Looking, 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 looking. And once in a while we would find a dime. Or maybe a rare bottle cap. Or perhaps a marble of exquisite hue. Or maybe a worn-out eraser. Or who knows what. But we watched the ground. And from the ground came all treasures, came all wonders. And we watched the ground. And then as we grew, gradually some began to look up for treasures. Until finally, the very few never looked down ever. And the treasures came to them. But the rest of us, laden by our ancient instincts, and perhaps having been once mouse-trapped by having found something, after observing the ground, never could quite get it out of our system. The ground sniffers. Yes. Hoping to find a dime or a quarter or a rare matchbox or who knows what. Who cares what? And so it comes to pass that in the end, man looks to the earth. But those who have forgotten somehow truly find. Yes, it is a conundrum. But then most of it is anyway. After all is said and done, by George, a miserable double cross stick. Have you ever had the feeling that your puzzle of life was a sad crossword puzzle to be found in, let us say, the Tuesday edition of the Daily News? Your life isn't even a puzzle enough to make the average daily edition of the Times or even the Trib. Is your daily puzzle a double crostic, or is it a Chinese nail puzzle, all twisted and gnarled, or perhaps a Gordian knot, never, never to be untied? Until finally one day it is untied with a fell swoop of a sharpened Damascus blade. I've solved the Gordian knot problem. And all the while you sniff. You know, this is a fact. Probably 18 million females are saying, what's this idiot talking about? But there isn't a man-jack male among them who can say that. Among those listeners out there who can say, what's he talking about? Because every male I ever knew spent most of his childhood looking at the ground, hoping to find something. Looking in curbs. Always looking along the curbs. Hoping to find something, something. And then that wild, ecstatic thrill when you find a quarter, or a dime, or a nickel. One time I found a $5 gold piece right in the middle of the Depression. I'll never forget it. I thought it was a campaign button. Wild, and I took it home, and my old man took one look at it. Says, gee, that isn't much of a coin. Here, I'll trade you a quarter for it. Wasn't until years later I learned what had happened. Ah, we're undone by knaves and fools, all of us. Each man jack of us. My George, if you think you can rise above this, I've known many a radish that has tried to grow up to be a cabbage. Yes, and I've known cabbages that have tried to grow up to be pumpkins. And pumpkins that yearn to be watermelons. And watermelons that yearn to be succulent grapes with interesting figures. Where do we all wind up? In the same stew, in the same hash? Anybody out there care for some community singing? How about some old favorites, huh? Can't think of an old favorite. Come to think of it, I don't have an old favorite. Old favorite. I can't even think of a tune. Nothing. Come with me. Come. Put your hand in mine, and we will go hunting along the curbstones of life. Is there anyone out there who really wants to go junking tonight? Really grumbling. Is there one among you, speaking to the men, is there one among you who can pass a pile of junk on a Manhattan street without feeling a kind of urge to go over and look? Just, you know, look. Have to tear yourself away and keep right on going. I expect one day to be all dressed, you know, and going along Lexington Avenue with some account executive. And, you know, you're kind of lost in thoughts and walking along, and suddenly you see something over there in one of those trash buckets, and without even thinking, you rush over, grab it, stick it under your arm, and you're walking down the street wearing a Chesterfield coat and carrying a 1937 Philco Cathedral model radio under your arm. It's been thrown out of a third-story window. Oh, excuse me. I'm a collector of antiques. I recognize this. This is a genuine cathedral model here. It's like finding yourself at a party and you're talking incessantly and you can't stop talking. And about a half, maybe a third, maybe three quarters of the way through your monologue, you suddenly have a sensation. I'm out of my mind. What's the matter with you? Stop talking, you nut, will you? Cut it out. You stand there and you lean up against the mantelpiece and you got your scotch in one hand and your other hand is starting to go to sleep and you find yourself talking again endlessly. Stop it, you nut! Stop it! And everyone's got that glazed, bored look and you continue to go and go like an insane grub grinding through earth. Grinding, grinding, looking, and you talk and talk and talk. Have any of you ever seen a mole cross a road in bright sunlight? Have you ever seen a mole walking atop the earth? I have. I mean, going across the street. I'm driving along one time, and I'm just a kid, see? I got this car that I bought secondhand. It was actually 28th hand, probably, as far as I know. It was the only three-wheeled Ford I ever saw. I got this. It started out with four wheels, but you know. And I'm driving along one day, and I see this lump on the street ahead of me in the sunshine. And it's moving. And I slow up and I stop. What is that? It's a mole. For crying out loud, it's a mole. Have you ever seen a mole walk across the street in bright sunlight? He doesn't go very fast. If you've ever seen something go in an absolutely straight line and yet go completely aimlessly, the line was straight, but the mole didn't know it was a straight line, you know? This mole is going across the street. Must have taken him 4 hours to get to the center line. By the time I left him, he was only about maybe 2 feet or 3 feet to the left of the center line. I doubt whether he ever got across. Couldn't have gotten across. And I'm driving along 4 or 5 blocks later. And I'm trying to figure out what this mole reminded me of. It suddenly came to me. This mole looked exactly like my Aunt Glenn. That's the way Aunt Glenn lived her life, in a straight line that she didn't even know was a straight line, and she never got across either. It wasn't until later I realized that we all looked like that mole, walking a straight line. And now, I suggest only that you put your hand in mine. Come. I am your friend. I suppose among moles there's a head mole who is blazing the trail on that long, straight, never-bending line that leads, to that last great Howard Johnson of all moles, where the earth is always moist. Undoubtedly, the mole has his own conception. Where there's plenty of grubs for all. And it's all one big lawn. That's the second chorus. That's the third chorus. The fourth chorus we will have to reserve till the women and children leave. Which should be within the next 30 seconds if I know women and children. Which, of course, I don't. In a pig's ear. eating. As I hear you talking, Daddy. Look, you got to have the vision, see? And once you have the vision, then after that, you must develop a technique. You know, vision is one thing, brushstroke is another. Two separate identities. Now, many of us got the vision. It's like a fading decal, a cockamamie, on the back of the wrist of all eternity, fading in the sunlight. Ever tell you about the time this guy that had the candy store, two blocks away from the Warren G. Harding grade school, in that long, curving, dark, inverted bowl of the Midwest, we suddenly got a load of hot cockamamies, decals. Can you imagine French decals for kids to put on the back of their wrist? Oh, ho, ho. No Niagara Falls there. No pictures of Goose Gosling there. I came home with one just above my elbow. I figured I could hide it from my old lady. Well, you never can. Never can. She scrubbed it off, but somehow it rubbed off on my soul and has been there ever since. It's beautiful. Three colors. Men, do you ever have the vision floating around in your mind of the girl? I mean, the eternal, ephemeral girl? Or the all girl? You know what is it? The girl? Just like the it that hides in the dark privet hedges that all of mankind is scurrying away. Did you read that story in the Times about how they were burrowing below the ice in a freshwater lake in the Antarctic? A freshwater lake in the Antarctic. Did you read about that? And the ice is from 10 to 40 feet thick. And they burrow all the way down through that. And they get down into the water and they lower that thermometer down there, just like Aunt Glenn measuring the temperature in the mulligatawny stew. They lower that thermometer down there and they find that the temperature is 47.8. 50 feet below the surface of the bottom of the ice. By George, I've lived in apartments where the hot water was hotter than that and cooler than that, too. You can't really understand this. It's an incomprehensible thing. Speaking of the incomprehensible, do you realize we have set... speaking of the incomprehensible, this is WOR, AM and FM, New York. That vast electronic face that comes floating out of 8 million small wooden boxes, plastic boxes held together with tape, binding twine and dreams atop a myriad of refrigerators coming out of an avalanche of dashboards. Ever tell you the weird time one day I'm riding in a car with a guy on the Pennsylvania Turnpike listening to a tape recording of one of my shows at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he has on top of his dashboard one of these little plastic statues of a saint. It's a terrible moment. And he had one of these dashboards that somebody earlier had put on the outside of the glove compartment, these decals of chicks. Very strange thing. But not strange at all, because you see, it tells it. It tells it. It tells it. It's like, we've set off a wild strain of discordant music in the solar system. Man has. We're not speaking of Russians, nor Congolese, nor Ohioans. Can't you see these guys who for countless centuries have lived underneath that cloud layer in Venus? Have you read these stories of Venus? You know anything about the planet Venus? It's covered with a layer of clouds. Nobody knows anything about it here on Earth. This is an unknown planet. It's one of the closest to us, and yet it's unknown. It sits out there. And they don't know whether there's life on it, and yet life could be. And they don't know what kind of life it could be. They don't even know the temperature of the surface of Mars, or rather Venus. They know Mars, not Venus. And the guesses range from hundreds of degrees to temperature like New York in the summer. All because there's a thick floating layer of cloud that just moves across that planet and they never can see below it. It's always cloudy there. Reminds me of Toledo, Ohio. And there could be people who have lived under that layer of cloud, you see, and who have never seen the sky. Remember, they could never see the sky if they lived there. They don't see stars. They see no planets. They're living under this just gray layer of cloud, night and day, for countless centuries. And a whole civilization has grown up that says to them that there is nothing else but this. There's a great void out there. Nothing. They've never seen a star. And one day, out of the cloud bank, comes this thing that has a sign on it with a hammer and sickle. And undoubtedly, there must be some guy there, if this thing has progressed to any degree of insanity, there must be some guy there doing a Long John show. There's a Long John there, see? And he's on there, and he's batting it away all night long on the Venusian radio station, and suddenly at 3 o'clock in the morning, he gets 87 million calls from all these guys who say they saw this thing. And one by one, they appear on the program. And one by one, everybody in the neighborhood laughs. He's been a nut all of his life, hitting the jug. He just wants to get on the radio, that's it. He's invented all that stuff. No, the thing went right past there, and it had a sign on it with a hammer on it. It had a thing on there. It went right past. It went. I saw it. And we started it. Now, we always think in terms of some space vehicle coming to us. We have sent one to someone else. And you know what terror it would strike into the hearts of those who live in Trenton if a giant rocket suddenly appeared out of nowhere and bore no understandable coat of arms and whistled right past Trenton and kept right on taking pictures and sailed right out into space again, which they say this one's going to do, you know. It's not going to hit Venus. It's going to sail past, survey the landscape, and go out into space after having sent back a few photos, souvenirs, you know, a few postcards. This is an incredible idea. We have set the chain of sequence into motion. We have done it. Now, where do we go? Where do we go from here? Would you like to come with me and sniff along the curbstones, hoping to find another dime? I know a guy who's got an expense account that goes from here to Philadelphia and back again. He's got all known credit cards. One day I'm out with him for lunch, and he found a quarter in the back seat of a cab. He talked about it for 3 days. It was the first real money he'd seen, of course. That's part of it. But somehow, it was something that he had found. Everybody wants everything for nothing. You know you do. You want your life to be for nothing. If you could somehow sneak out of it. Oh, how can you get under the turnstile? How can you? Do you know that they say that within the next 15 years, everybody will be issued a universal credit card that will be good on all the turnpikes of the land? This is one of the most sinister schemes I've ever heard of in my life. At birth, you're issued a card that will admit you to all the turnpikes of the world. And every time your number is punched, automatically your account is rung up. And you're billed at the end of the month. Can't you just see this guy who has made a U-turn on a turnpike somewhere and he's hauled up before the judge? And the judge gives him capital punishment. Tears up his card. He's banished to the weeds. He's banished to the weeds forever. To drive out there. Have you ever driven along the turnpike? All the rest of the outside world looks black. It's out there, black. Once in a while, there's a little light. You'd be surprised there are people there. They're growing fewer in number, it is true. They're out there behind the Howard Johnson, groveling in all the tin cans. The carless, the cardless. Ah, but come, fly with me, come. Fly, fly, speak not of those cruel ancient days, those lost and gone ones. It's time to do it. Cheap guitar music, please. Cheap as you can find. As cheap as you can stand. Oh, yes, yes, and when you get to the final turnstile, when you get to the final, you know, you can fall into terrible habits. Terrible habits. I'm behind a lady the other day who went in through the exit door of the subway, pulled it open and walked through with her shopping bag. Happened right here at 40th and 6th, Ed. I didn't know whether to stop and say, hey, stop it, lady, stop. Or whether to applaud, or whether to try it myself. But I'm a born payer. So I put the thing in the thing, and I sat down, and she sat in the same car with me. And when I got off at Columbus Circle, she was still going further on up. She got more for nothing than I got from that little thing that I dropped in the slot. Oh, you learn your lessons early. You learn them early. Yeah. One of the down and out, that's me. Yeah. Stare. Go ahead, stare. Stare and shrink. You wouldn't think that I was a millionaire, would you? Look at my face. It's crimped and gouged. One of them death mask things. Don't seem the sort of man, do I? As might be the pal of kings, eh? Slouching along in smelly rags, a bleary-eyed, no-good bum. A knight of the hollow needle, pard, spewed from the sodden slum. Look me over from head to foot. How much would you think I was worth, huh? A dollar? A dime? A nickel? Well, I'm the wealthiest man on earth. The wealthiest man on earth! Now, don't you think that I'm off my base. You'll sing a different tune if only you'll let me spin my yarn. Come on over to the saloon. Come. Wet my throat. It's dry as chalk. And seeing as how it's you, I'll tell the tale of a northern trail, and so help me God, it's true. I'll tell of a howling wilderness on the haggard Arctic heights, of a reckless vow I made, and how I staked the northern lights. Do you remember the year of the big stampede, and the trail of 98, and the eyes of the world were turned to the north, and the hearts of men elate, hearts of the old daredevil breed thrilled at the wondrous strike, and to every man who could hold a pan came the message, clear and bright, up and hike, go. Well, I was there with the best of them, and I knew I wouldn't fail. You wouldn't believe it to see me now, but wait till you hear my tale. You've read of the trail of 98? Oh, but it's woe no man may tell. It was all of a piece and a whole yard wide, and the name of the brand was Hell. We heard the call, and we staked our all. We were plungers, playing blind, and no man cared how his neighbor fared, and no man looked behind, for a ruthless greed was born of need. And the weakling went to the wall, and a curse might avail where a prayer might fail. And the gold lust crazed us all. Bold we were. And they called us three the unholy three, the unholy trinity. It was Ole Olson, the sailor Swede, and the Dago kid, and me. We were the discards of the pack, the four-loopers of unrest, reckless spirits of fierce revolt in the ferment of the West. We were bound to win, and we reveled in the hardships on the way. We staked our ground, and our hopes were crowned, and we hoisted out the pay. We were rich, rich in a day, beyond all of our dreams. It was gold from the grassroots all the way down to the core of the earth. But we weren't used to such sudden wealth. And there was the siren town. We were crude and careless frontiersmen with much innocence of the beast. We could bear the famine beautifully. But we lost our heads at the feast. The town looked mighty bright to us, with a bunch of dust to spend, and nothing was half too good for them days, and everyone was our friend. Wine and meant more than mine and then, And life was a dizzy whirl, gambling and dropping chunks of gold on the neck of a dance hall girl. Till we went clean out of our heads, mad, it seems to me, and we squandered our last poke. And we sold our claim. And we found ourselves one bitter morning broke. The Dago Kid, he dreamed a dream of his mother's aunt who died. In the dawn light, dim, she came to him. And she stood by his bedside. And she said, "Go forth to the highest north till a lonely trail ye find. Follow it far and trust your star and fortune. It will be kind." But I jeered at him. And then there came the sailor Swede to me, and he said, "I dreamed of my sister's son, who croaked at the age of three. From the herded dead, he sneaked up and he said, 'Seek you an Arctic trail. It's pale and grim by the polar rim, but seek and ye shall not fail.'" And lo, that night I did dream of my mother's sister's son, and he said to me, "By the Arctic sea there's a treasure to be won. Follow, and follow a lone moose trail till you come to a valley grim on the slope of the lonely watershed that borders the polar brim." Then I woke my pal, and soft we swore by the mystic silver flail 'twas the hand of fate. And tomorrow straight we would seek that lonely moose trail. We watched the groaning ice wrench free, crash on with a hollow din. Men of the wilderness we were, freed from the taint of sin. The mighty river snatched us up and bore us swift along. Oh, the days were bright, and the morning light was sweet with jeweled song. We pulled up and lined up nameless streams. We portaged over hill and plain. We burnt our boat to save the nails, and then we built our boat again. We guessed and we groped north, ever north, with many a twist and turn. We saw ablaze in the deathless days the splendid sunsets burn over soundless lakes where the grayling makes a rush at the clumsy fly, by bluffs so steep that the hard-hit sheep falls sheer from out of the sky, by lilied pools where the bull moose cools and wallows in huge content, by rocky lairs where the pig-eyed bears peered at our tiny tent. Through the black canyon's angry foam we hurled to dreamy bars, and round in a ring the dog-nosed peaks bayed to the mocking stars. Spring and summer and spring, and then finally autumn went. The sky had a tallow gleam. Yet north, and ever north we pressed to the land of our golden dream. Until at last we came to a tundra vast and dark and grim and lone. And there it was, the little lone moose trail, and we knew it for our own. By Muskeg Hollow and Niggerhead it wandered endlessly. Sorry of heart and sore of foot, weary men were we. The short-lived sun had a leaden glare, and the darkness came too soon. And stationed there with a solemn stare was the pinched, anemic moon. Silence and silver solitude, until it made you dumbly shrink, and you thought to hear with an outward ear the things that you ought to think. Oh, it was wild and weird and wan, and ever in camp o' nights we would watch. Watch the silver dance of the mystic northern lights. And soft they danced from the polar sky and swept in primrose haze. And swift they pranced with their silver feet and pierced with a blinding blaze. They danced a cotillion in the sky. They were rose and silver shed. Oh, it wasn't good for the eyes of man. 'Twas a sight for the eyes of God. It made us mad and strange and sad. And the gold whereof we dreamed was all forgot, and our only thought now was the lights that gleamed. Oh, the tundra, The tundra sponge, it was golden brown, and some it was bright blood red, and the reindeer moss gleamed here and there like the tombstones of the dead, and in and out and round about the little trail ran clear, and we hated it with a deadly hate, and we feared with a deadly fear, and the skies of night were alive with light, with a throbbing, thrilling flame, amber and rose and violet, opal and gold it came. It swept the sky like a giant scythe. It quivered back to a wedge, argently bright. It cleft the night with a wavy golden edge. Pennants of silver waved and streamed, lazy banners unfurled. Sudden splendors of sabers gleamed, lightning javelins were hurled. There in our awe we crouched and saw with our wild uplifted eyes charge and retire the hosts of fire in the battlefield of the skies. But all things come to an end at last. And the muskeg melted away. And frowning down to bar our path, a muddle of mountains lay. And a gorge sheared up in granite walls. And the moose trail crept betwixt. It was as if the earth had gaped too far. And her stony jaws were fixed open wide. Then the winter fell with a sudden swoop, and the heavy clouds sagged low, and earth and sky were blotted out in a whirl of driving snow. We were climbing up a glacier in the neck of a mountain pass when the Dago kid slipped down and fell into a deep crevasse. When we got him out, one leg hung limp, and his brow was wreathed with pain. He says, "It's badly broken, boys. I'll never walk again. It's death for all if you linger here. And that's no cursed lie. Go on while the trail is good and leave me down to die." He raved and he swore. But we tended him with our uncouth, clumsy care. The campfire gleamed, and he gazed and dreamed with a fixed and a curious stare. Then all at once he grabbed my gun and he put it to his head and he says, "I'll fix it for you boys." Them were the last words he said. So we sewed him up in a canvas sack and we slung him to a tree. And the stars like needles stabbed our eyes, and woeful men were we. And on we went in our woeful way, wrapped in a daze of dream. And the northern lights and the crystal nights came forth with a mystic gleam. They danced and they danced the devil dance over the naked snow. And soft they rolled like a tide upshoaled with a ceaseless ebb and flow. They rippled green with a wondrous sheen. They fluttered out like a fan. They spread with a blaze of rose-pink rays never yet seen by man. They writhed like a brood of angry snakes, hissing and sulfur pale. Then swift they changed to a dragon, fast, waving a cloven tail. It seemed to us as we gazed aloft with an everlasting stare that the sky was a pit of bale and dread, and a monster reveled there. We climbed the rise of a hogback range that was desolate and drear one day, when the sailor Swede had a crazy fit and he got to talking queer. He talked of his home in Oregon, and the peach trees all in bloom, and the fern head high, and the topaz sky, and the forest scented gloom. He talked of the sins of his misspent life, and then he seemed to brood, and I watched him there like a fox, a hare, for I knew it wasn't good. And sure enough, in the dim dawn light, I missed him from the tent, and a fresh trail broke through the crusted snow, and I knew not where it went, but I followed it over the seamless waste. And then I found him at the shut of day, naked, as a newborn babe. And so there I left him, where he lay. Day after day was sinister, and I fought with fierce-eyed despair. I clung to life. I struggled on. I knew not why or where. I packed my grub in short relays, and I cowered down in my tent. And the world around was purged of sound, like a frozen continent. Day after day was dark as death. But ever and ever at nights, with a brilliancy that grew and grew, blazed up the northern lights. They rolled around with a soundless sound, like softly bruised silk. They poured into the bowl of the sky with the gentle flow of milk in eager, pulsing violet. Their wheeling chariots came, or they poised above the polar rim like a coronal of flame. From depths of darkness, fathomless, their lancing rays were hurled like the all-combining searchlights of the navies of the world. There on the roof pole of the world, as one bewitched, I gazed and howled and groveled like a beast at the awful splendors. Blazing above, my eyes were seared, yet thralled I peered through the parka hood, nigh blind. But I staggered on to the lights that shone. Never I looked behind. There's a mountain, round and low, that lies right by the polar rim. And I climbed its height in a whirl of light, and I peered over its jagged rim. And there, in a crater vast and deep, ungained, unguessed of men, the mystery of the Arctic world was flashed into my ken. And there these poor dim eyes of mine beheld the sight of sights. That hollow ring was the source and the spring of the mystic northern lights. Then I staked that place from crown to base, and I hit the nose, that long moose homeward trail. Oh, God, it was good. Though my eyes were blurred and I crawled like a sickly snail in that vast white world where the silent sky communes with the silent snow, in hunger and cold and misery I wandered to and fro. But the Lord took pity on my pain, and he led me to the sea. And some ice-bound whalers heard my moan, and they fed and sheltered me. They fed the feeble scarecrow thing that stumbled out of the wild with the ravaged face of a mask of death and the wandering wits of a child. A craven, cowering bag of bones that once had been a man. They tended me and to the world. And here I am. You know, some say that the northern lights are the glare of the Arctic ice and snow. And some say that's electricity. And nobody seems to know, but I'll tell you. I'll tell you now. And if I lie, my lips may be stricken dumb. It's a mine. A mine of the precious stuff that men call radium. It's $1,000,000 a pound, they say, and there's tons and tons in sight. You can see it gleam in a golden stream in the solitudes of night. And it's mine, all mine. And say, if you have 100 plunks to spare, I'll let you have a chance of your life. I'll sell you a quarter share. Yes. What? You turn it down. Well, I'll make it 10, seeing as how you're my friend. Nothing doing. Hey, don't be hard. Have you got a dollar to lend? Just a dollar to help me out. I know you'll treat me white. Thanks. I'll do as much for you someday. God bless you, sir. Good night. Yes, come, put your hand in mine. Put your hand in mine, come. And we shall go wandering. We shall go wandering. We shall go searching along the curbstone, shall we? We might find something. By George. Nurse Barker! Nurse Barker! That young doctor killed you. What's that young man been up to now, Nurse Barker? I don't want milk, Nurse Barker. What's that young man been up to now? Lucky horseshoe rings fit any finger. Send your name and address to Checkerboard Square, Valhalla. Be sure to enclose 2 box tops. Oh, incidentally, it is possible, you know, to make really big money. You too can be Operative X. Send your name and address to Spy Biz, Box 437, Kansas City, Kansas. And perhaps the golden key of opportunity will be yours to unlock that vast door of success and happiness. Oh, stamps sent upon approval. 50, count them. 50 poses. Art students only need apply. You must be over 21. Sent in plain sealed rubber.